Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
All right, church family, we're going to dive in to a message in this week as well as next. It starts turning my attention toward Memorial Day. And I think about the sacrifice that so many have given in to make our nation a reality. And we're all heading into potentially some cookouts and maybe some time at the lakes and maybe some time with friends. And our minds have a tendency to shift towards a long weekend, or I get a three-day weekend, or maybe something of luxury, not realizing that perhaps we don't realize the amount of sacrifice it took for us just to kind of hang out and eat that cheeseburger. I really hope that we can be a church family that values the importance of sacrifice. A life of significance is continually marked by selfless sacrifice. And so if we want to live lives of significance, they've got to be lives that are marked by denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following after Jesus. There are certain characteristics of a nation and why America stands out more than any other nation on the planet. No doubt we have been founded and rooted and grounded on biblical and brilliant concepts. We have a constitution like none other. We have put in godly law. It's a beautiful foundation, but it has been preserved by men and women who have been willing to sacrifice for that beauty and for that constitution. And so in the same way that we have a brilliant and a beautiful nation, I too believe that we have a brilliant and a beautiful faith that requires action that is selfless, that says I'm going to punt personal pleasure in order to go after the larger win of a community. That I would say no to myself and to deny myself and to invest more time, that I would rather just kick it on the couch and watch the latest doc on Netflix. And trust me, I do enjoy that. But saying no, I'm going to meet with this family or be with that person or be on that committee or coach that team, whatever is required of a man of God, of a woman of God. If I'm in this community, I need to give back to the larger vision. Right? And so we're going to say we're in. We've got to make some personal sacrifice in order to see that there's a larger win at stake. We first see these areas of sacrifice, of literal sacrifice, as it comes to in the Bible in Genesis chapter 8. And Noah had his family, and he had all of the animals on the ark, and he is about to walk off of the ark, and we see this sacrifice that is made. It says, then Noah built an altar. He had just got off the ark, and he built an altar to the Lord, taking some of all of the clean animals, the clean birds, and he sacrificed a burnt offering on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma. There is an aroma of sacrifice that pleases the nostrils of a holy God. There's a scent of sacrifice. There is certain scents I know that I enjoy during certain seasons of my life. There are certain seasons, there are certain scents that my wife absolutely loves. Do y'all love in the spring the smell of candles or wax warmers like fresh cotton? Anybody? Or in summer, I love lemon and like mandarin orange. I love those smells. In the fall, it's like cinnamon and apples, and I love that in the fall. In the winter, I love pine. I love that smell. Or even not just during different seasons, but even just different times of the day. At evening, I love a candle of like sandalwood and testosterone. I love that sort of a smell. Like right before I go to bed, just like, Lord, just charge me up with some manness as I go into my dreams. Whatever they are, there are certain scents that I like to burn, certain aromas, and it's pleasing. Oh, I love it. We'll go into any certain store, and I'll ask them, hey, what's the scent? What am I smelling here? Oh, we got this candle in the back. It's like, how much is it? I want that candle. We'll go in where we were recently, we went into a store, and I was like, as soon as I walked in, I smelled it. I'm like, what? What is that? Well, we got this candle over here. Do you sell this candle? Yeah, we do. I don't know if we've got any left. I want it. Whatever it is, I want this candle. We'll go into Anthropology. Y'all know the store, Anthropology, and we'll go in there. They have candles galore. Mainly people buy them because the candle holders are like antique-y looking and they're super cool. I don't know what they are, but I want it. I want that candle. It's something that pleases the person that's leaning over, smelling that. And I'll tell you, there are preferences to the nostrils of God that He wants to breathe in and He wants to smell. And it says, when Noah did this, whenever he burnt this offering, God says, I like that. What is this candle? What's going on right here? I want it. I want all of it. I'm buying all of them. I'm all in on this. And it was sacrifice. It was a living sacrifice. He took these clean, perfect, holy animals and lifted them up to the Lord as a sacrifice, saying that we're going to bring what is alive. We're willing to sacrifice it unto death in order to please this God of ours. And I just want to encourage us. The Bible would call us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, that we are a living sacrifice, called as our lives are supposed to climb up on the altar and say, God, light this life on fire, and may I burn up for you. God, yeah, if burnout is the goal, then let's burn out, Jesus, for you. Come on, we're all in. Use our lives. Let us be completely wasted upon you, extravagantly giving of ourselves upon the call and the mandate that you've given to us. In the Gospel of John, Jesus is challenging his disciples, and he says this. He says, you better work now while it's still daylight, because the day is coming to an end when no man will work. So you better get to it while the getting's good. And he challenges us to live these lives of sacrifice. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6, it says, do not neglect to do good, to share what you have, for such sacrifices that is pleasing to God. Romans 12, 1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice. It's holy and it's pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. There are some things that are just a reasonable sacrifice. It's just reasonable. We live in the most blessed nation on the planet. It's just a reasonable sacrifice that we'd be able to give back. We live in a healthy community and a healthy church family. It's just reasonable that we'd be able to give back and to serve. There are reasonable sacrifices that the Bible says, and it's just pleasing to the nostrils of God. I don't know if you've studied much about our U.S. presidents, but one of my favorite presidents has been Ronald Reagan. And as Ronald Reagan led through the 80s, and there was a lot of different things going on in the world, this was a man who stood at the lectern of life and was teaching lessons on how to lead with courage and with bravery. That he would honor sacrifice and he would kick to the curb those that had a laziness or a disinterest in giving back to the greater good. That'd be pretty cool to have said about you. And this was the kind of president that we had. I want to show you this video clip as Ronald Reagan speaks about the nation that we have and the sacrifice it took to have it. We'll figure it out. Next week is Memorial Day. As we look into Memorial Day, this time of year, it really gets me leaning in on our nation and what it took to have a nation like this. The thing that is required is this thing that I will give my life to something. And I'll tell you, if we don't have something that we're willing to give we're willing to die for, it's really not something that we're excited to live for. Let me see if I can say it in a different way. If it's not going to require my best, then why would I give much to it at all? And if it's going to require death of me, then that's the thing that I ought to live for the most. Perhaps it's family. Maybe it's a spouse. It's kids. It's maybe it's your church family. Maybe it's the faith, and you're just wanting to say, you know what, Jesus, take my reputation and my ego. I'll be a man of no reputation if it means that I get to become more and more like you, or I get to see the gospel message preached around the world, or you know what, maybe I lose the comforts of America because you're calling me to the mission field, and I'll sacrifice that, Jesus. Perhaps you're saying, man, I'm all in, Jesus. I love you and I want to do it. We're like, great, can you serve and can you be a part? It's like, no, I'm not on Tuesdays. I have my show on Tuesdays. Jesus, I give you my life, but just don't ask me to come at Tuesday at 7. And we got to say, Jesus, what is it that you're asking of me, and how can I really, for real, be all in a sacrificial way where I climb up on that altar and you light me on fire? A person of sacrifice must find something to sacrifice for. A man or a woman must be gripped by something worthy of their sacrifice. A Christian without something to give sacrifices to believes they are the one that sacrifices are made for. If I don't have anything to pour out my worship upon, then I believe that all praise should be given to me. If I don't have anything to lay my life down for and to make sacrifices for, then all sacrifices are done for me. Does that make sense? And I've got to find a place to pour out affectionate, sacrificial giving and living. Are we ready to roll, guys? Let's go to President Reagan. He can say it much better than I.
If we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land, we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Freedom and the dignity of the individual have been more available and assured here than in any other place on earth. The price for this freedom at times has been high, but we have never been unwilling to pay that price. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Pork Chop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small town barber shop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading, My Pledge, he had written these words: America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. We must realize that no arsenal or no weapon in the arsenals of the world is so formidable as the will and moral courage of free men and women. It is a weapon our adversaries in today's world do not have. It is a weapon that we as Americans do have. Let that be understood by those who practice terrorism and prey upon their neighbors. As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it, now or ever. We are Americans.
Come on. I don't know if anybody wants to grab your gun and go, but it does something like that in me. He said, we have a weapon that nobody else has. We have freedom. And when you can fight for freedom and you fight free, man, there is something. He goes, there's artillery that we have that no other nation has, and it's selfless sacrifice. And whenever you're willing to fight with some tools that nobody else has, it's these invisible tools, but it's just the one that'll go the extra mile. It's the one that will lay their life down. It's the one that will squeeze the orange and get every last drop out of their life. Get every last bit of energy they can for a higher cause than just themselves. People, we're calling you to a life of sacrifice for the faith in Jesus, to make it go global, to make it go local, in whatever areas of influence we have. Perhaps this is a call out to you to say, you know what, it's enough that I sit back on my blessed assurance and not engage in what God has called me to engage in. You know what, I need to run for this local office. I need to be in the school. I need to be on the school board. I need to be a gatekeeper in my community. I need to be one that is out and doing and involved. I don't know what it is inside of you, but it's not, Christianity is not just for us to have church attendance. It is for the church to be on the move, to be making earth look like heaven. It's what Jesus prayed. May your kingdom come to the earth. And may it look like that which is in heaven. And so we've got to work at doing that very thing. And so if we could be those that would say, Jesus, I want to lay my life down for you. Light these idle sticks up in my life that I would burn up for you. I want to go all in. I'm going to punt personal pleasure and I'm going to go after the call all in. For other people's freedoms. To say, what is it, Jesus, that you would have for me? This last semester, I've been meeting with a group of guys from Taylor University. And I see Grayson, you're sitting out there. It's good to see you, brother. And I would meet with these guys Thursday mornings, 7 a.m. I'm standing on Grayson's front porch, knocking. Bro, wake up. I'm here. Let's rock. So they're getting up. There's six or seven of these guys that we meet with every morning saying, guys, we're willing to sacrifice sleep in order to become more like Jesus. What are the things that we're willing to get rid of in our lives that just, it's just the seductive slope of sleepy laziness that just slowly takes away the edge off of our spirits, right? Ravenhill said this. He said, sin is that which dulls my affection toward God. It's just the thing that just kind of keeps the passion at bay. It's not white hot affection. It's not burning on the altar of the heart of God. It's just kind of just dampened my passion for Jesus. And we say, no, no more. We're kicking that out of our lives and we're saying, let's go all in on these disciplines. Let's sacrifice something to become more and more like him. Grayson starts having these moments and these encounters with Jesus. He starts turning his life more and more to look like the image of the Son of God. And it's been a fight, right, brother? It's not like it's easy. What's easy is sin. What's easy is lethargy. What's easy is just the sinful nature. And he's fighting against and doing this resistance. So we have a breakfast meeting. We have a lunch meeting. We have these follow-up times. He's in church. He's worshiping here each Sunday morning. And he reaches out to me and he says, my life has been so transformed. He goes, I just want to go in another step in a public profession of faith. I want to be baptized. I'm like, let's do it, brother. Yesterday, he completes his journey of college and he graduates from Taylor University yesterday. After graduation, he, his family, his grandparents are sitting here with him today. Girlfriend is here. His parents come down, his sister, all of his buddies. We're all surrounded. We go out to Taylor Lake. And as we're standing around there with all of the couches from Taylor Lake that are bouncing around, and then Miss Mary, you remember, the thing is that you sneak out the night before graduation and you clear out your dorm room and you throw your couch into Taylor Lake. So there's all these couches that are like floating around and we're like, all right, let's find some space here. and we walk out there, and Grayson makes this profession of faith of what God is doing in his life and in his heart and all this sort of stuff. And we go down and we come back up as a symbol, as a picture of what Jesus has done, of taking a man and dying to his old ways, coming alive in Christ again. And there's just something new that's taking place inside of his life. At graduation, Taylor gives you a diploma. They give you a Taylor Bible, but they give you the prize possession. They give you a Taylor towel. And the Taylor towel, it's a picture of servanthood. It's a picture of sacrifice. It's a picture of Jesus kneeling before his disciples. As he wrapped the towel around himself, he began to wash the feet of someone else. It's all about servanthood. Taylor University, we're marked by, yes, education, but hopefully through your education, you are one that's willing to sacrifice and serve someone else, and you get the Taylor towel. People frame that stuff. They hang it in offices. I mean, it's like it is as good as your diploma. It's a picture of sacrifice. What are the areas where God's saying, come on, I know that there's more. You're giving out of your comfort. When I want you to give out of faith. I want you to give out of a place that you might get squeezed on time. Maybe it's a squeezed on finances. When Jesus tells the story about the people that were giving money, he says, you know, this one guy rolls in there in his Rolls Royce, he writes this huge fat check, and he gives out of his comfort. Says, and there was this little widow woman who had two mites. She had two coins. It's all she had, and she gave it. Jesus asks, which one gave more? The person who gave a million or a person that gave two nickels? Jesus is the person that sacrificially gave everything they had. And I'm hoping that the Holy Spirit's going to move around the room right now and just start moving upon our hearts to say, you know what, there's more. Come on. Jesus gave it all. John 3:16, what God loved, and love motivates you to give. God so loved that he gave his son and sacrificed and laid him on the altar. I'll just tell you that there's more, that we need to fall in love at deeper levels that would motivate and move us to want to give and want to sacrifice. There's four motivations for me whenever it comes to sacrificial giving. Number one is gratitude. Number two is gratitude. Number three is obedience. And number four is I'm moved for the betterment of the greater good. Number one, I'm in love, and so I want to give. My heart has been so moved, and I'm grateful. I'll tell you, if I can get a different perspective of my family coming home, oh my gosh, I'm so grateful for this woman that the Lord has given me. I ought to delight in the wife of my youth. And I ought to delight in these kids because the Bible calls children a gift from the Lord. They're like arrows in the quiver, and blesses the man whose quiver is full. God, I want to be grateful for this, so I want to serve. Just gratitude, man. Obedience, the Lord calls us to be living sacrifices. God, I just want to live a life where I obey. I say yes to you. And then I realize that if I will punt my own personal preference and pleasure, there's going to be a greater win. There's going to be a greater good. Perhaps you wanted church to look a certain way, but you're like, God, I'll do whatever. I'll negotiate my personal preferences and lay down and sacrifice if it's going to reach more people that have never heard of you. I'm willing to sacrifice that, Jesus. Perhaps it's who's going to host the holidays. Let's not go there. But Jesus, I'm willing to sacrifice whatever I can do to unite and keep our family together. God, I'm in. I'm in. What are those sacrificial things where Jesus says, come on, there's more. There's more. You're giving out of leftovers and comforts, and you're giving out of this huge stockpile of your resources. I want you to give everything. Come on, there's more. And the best life is found when we are willing to lose it. We will find the best part of our lives. Hebrews 13:15. Look at this. Through him, then let us continually offer up sacrifices of praise to God. The fruit of the lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good, to share what you have, for such sacrifices, they're pleasing to God. Ephesians 5:2, as we walk in love, as Christ loved us, he gave himself up for us. It was a fragrance offering. It was a sacrifice to God. I'll tell you, there is a smell the Lord loves. He wants to smell the fragrance and the candle burning of your life, saying no to self, denying self, taking up your cross, and following after him. A few areas where I just specifically think of this. I think of serving. I think of giving. I think of forgiving. I got to sacrifice that place of pain and hurt and resentment and bitterness and where I want to stand up and to defend myself. I'm going to sacrifice that and move toward forgiveness. How about this one? Can I get really, really specific on an area of sacrifice? This is just a practical example. Perhaps when you're in a group, and every group has that guy that's the life taker of the group, and you know for the betterment of the group, if someone's able to set a screen and to set a pick, run some interference, hey, I'm going to hang out with this guy. That's as practical as we can get. I'm going to sacrifice my time, my hour with this group for the betterment of the group. We don't have to call you by name, but if you're that guy. But sometimes you say, okay, this is the moment where I'm going to say, Jesus, I'm just going to love on this person. And man, I would much rather enjoy it myself, but I'm going to say no to enjoyment. I'm going to love on this person, right? Guys, this is like some really good practical stuff right here. And Jesus, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go all in on this thing. Let me give you a couple more practical examples. Dads, when you walk into the house, deny yourself, pick up your cross, bring the energy, bring the joy, bring the wrestles and the tickles and the chases. Christians, where there's an opportunity given by the church to serve, whether it's our kids, serve our elders, serve moms, an opportunity to serve widows, run to sign up. This is your reasonable sacrifice. Pastor Andrew preached about 3 weeks ago, and he said, who wants to get more involved in the church? Here's a number that you can text, or here's a sign-up. Out of a church of approximately 200 people, we had three. Three people interested in serving more. When you look back on this last year, and you see that you really never spent much time in God's Word, maybe even the last 5 years, and you excuse your lack of discipline with, well, it's just a busy season of life, then I would say sacrifice is your mandate. That's the move. Wake up 15 minutes earlier. Sit with Jesus in prayer, in silence, in the scriptures. This is a reasonable sacrifice. When you want to defend yourself and prove that you're right, and you want to get angry and justify, and you want to expose someone else, and you want to point out their flaws, your move is to deny yourself, take up your cross, and be like Jesus. Another one is forgive. Even when you don't want to and it hurts, may you hear the voice of Jesus saying this, get a hold of that cross. Come on, baby. This is what the cross is all about. Forgive. This is your reasonable sacrifice. Giving. When the offering plate comes around, whether you have lots or you have little, but like the widow in the Bible, you say, God, I want to give you more than anything else. I want to live obedient as a pleasing sacrifice. I want your face and your favor. I will not rob you, O God. I will give sacrificially more than I want that boat or that cute outfit. It's a reasonable sacrifice. I've been doing comfortable giving, Lord, but I want to give to where it's maybe uncomfortable. I want to give to you sacrificially, not what's left and not what's last, but what's first. As I said at the beginning, lives of significance are continually marked by selfless sacrifice. Church, we live in a nation that we're grateful for, because many have sacrificed. We get to live in a pretty cool church for so many people that have given and sowed and invested, and they've sacrificed for us to live in the benefits and the blessings. Perhaps the Lord's calling you to sacrifice more. What is it? I need to bring more to my home. I need to die to myself, take up my cross, and get after this marriage and these kids. Maybe I need to get a larger vision. I got too much wasted time that I need to give back to my community, to my church. I don't know what those things are, but we're asking the Lord that He would raise up a church that would live selfless and sacrificial for the betterment of the group and of the church and of the community. Amen. That's who we are. We've received an amazing sacrifice. It's a reasonable sacrifice that we would give back. As we move into Memorial Day, I want us to be locked in on this thought, and I want us to have a week of gratitude, and we're going to end it with an exclamation point next Sunday as we talk about Memorial Day. Would you all stand with me as we close this morning? Jesus, I'm just grateful that you modeled sacrifice really, really well. And Jesus, I'm grateful that you're calling us and you're gracing us to live sacrificially. Lord, I pray that we would just respond to that call and that mandate for the glory of God and the good of the people. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.